Welcome back to the Real Easy Show. You got John here. I'm just going to intro this episode real quick. I just wanted to say that we're really looking forward to putting out episodes of 2019. Hopefully we'll get some video up on YouTube at some point. Some more animations definitely coming that way. For now, I just want everybody to relax, enjoy this episode, enjoy the original music at the beginning and end, as always, and also take a listen to our very first advertisement on the pod. This episode of The Real Easy Show is presented by Flush Retail. Flush Retail is a fashion brand and retail website from the brain of co-creator of The Real Easy Show, John Wittig. Yeah, that's me. The website features collections of fashionable merchandise, including t-shirts, hoodies, and hats that are all original creations. The most recent collection to be featured on FlushRetail.com is the Rosie Collection. The Rosie Collection is a package of t-shirts, hoodies, and a beanie that all showcase a brand new original design inspired by The Real Easy Show. This collection is out right now, and our listeners will receive a very special discount code. To get 20% off your next order from FlushRetail.com, use offer code REALEASY at checkout. That's code REALEASY at checkout for 20% off your next order of the Rosie Collection. Hope you had a good time sitting through that ad. Without any further ado, let's just go ahead and get into this episode. Trent freaking Hamner is on. All right, let's get it going, baby.
Hello, welcome to The Real Easy Show. It's been a hot minute since we've recorded together, me and John Boy. We got a special guest, Trent Hamner, on.
How's it going?
Good, how are you, Trent?
Doing so well.
Trent's a longtime friend since the good old days.
That means a lot.
These are the good old days. runs track at Oklahoma now.
You know it.
D1 athlete,
big
baby.
League
first,
boy.
First one on the pod.
Yeah, sir. Super fast.
It's a huge honor.
Yeah,
to have you on.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we already got the autographs out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So there's no need to hear the Sharpie. I know you guys hate the squeakiness of the Sharpie. anyway, so you are a D1 athlete now. I always have this question for anybody that plays any sport at any level. Partly because I overheard this little conversation you're having with Evan. I'm not going to accuse you of anything. I'm not going to say anything. All I'm going to ask...
Do your worst.
Is how much do you hate the regimen? How much do you hate getting up, working out, constantly, just consistently doing something that's trying to make you better at something that you may or may not have a passion for?
I think if you hate it, then you can't do it. And
that's fair.
That's the fact about it. I mean, the fact that you do it every day, you know, and it's something that you have to keep up with 24. I mean, as much as it's all you practice once a day or whatever, like it's a real lifestyle. And if you hate it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
That's how it was with me when I quit. It's just like, this has become my whole life and I'm running I'm hitting the goals that I wanted, that I worked so hard to get, mm-hmm. made so many sacrifices for. And I was like, it doesn't even freaking matter. I don't care that much.
Yeah.
I was like, it wasn't that amazing. I'm not going to be a professional. And there's just like, I don't know, like, I wasn't trying as hard as I could have been in school.
Yeah.
You know, my relationships were suffering.
It's really a big balancing act. I mean, and it's as much as you want out of it, so there's always a certain point you'll get to for everyone. So, obviously, not everyone's the greatest.
Yeah.
Right.
At their, for me, track. And so, eventually, you get to a point where the sacrifices aren't worth it anymore. So...
100%.
It's all about what you want to put into it and really what you want out of it. And if you value those, value that thing, say track, more than these relationships, then you can go further in that. So
yeah, and I know plenty of people like that. That, I mean, they're not going to be pros or whatever, and after college it's going to be done. But they really do just love the grind and love being on that team and stuff. And if you do and you care about it, like, that's fine. Do what you want to do.
So I have a couple questions that spread from something you guys said. So I guess I'll ask the first one. So in terms of making your identity one thing, like how does, first of all, the way that I know you is that you went to Hoover and you're friends with Evan and you're friends with Ferris and you're friends with all these kids, but you also run track. Like that's what I know about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, and I'm sure a lot of people were like, oh, this kid's going to Oklahoma to run track. Now he's the track kid. You know what I mean? Or not the track kid, but you're one of the track kids from Hoover.
It's like, I've absolutely, like, you know, a lot of times the only thing people know about me was that I ran track and that I did super well in high school. And then now I run at Oklahoma, which is definitely a big deal. But you know, to me, that is not at all like who I am, but I understand that to a lot of people, that is what I am. And I guess it's sort of difficult sometimes, like, you know, thinking about getting to that level of like a balancing, like I was talking about, like, you know, I'm not going to do this forever.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, that's not what I want to be at the end of the day.
I think you've done really well about that, because I've never thought of Trent Hamner as a runner, you know, that's like probably like the fourth thing on my list of Trent Hamner things.
Wait, what are 1, 2, and 3, first of all?
Let's see, number one, good guy. Number two, singer. I don't know. I think of you more as a like choir guy. Absolutely. Before runner. Me too. I don't know why. Third, probably just lanky dude. I don't know.
No, I think that's funny you said the choir thing, because like me too. I love music, and it's something that I probably got into because I'm decent at, but I'm not like, I'm not like gifted in any way. Like I would say I'm in track, but that's not why I'm into it, you know? And that's something a lot of my friends in Oklahoma don't even know about me.
Yeah.
And I told them that I'm going to be getting back in a choir next semester. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you'd be surprised. I spent more time doing that in high school than I did track. Like,
That's what, I guess that's why, because looking back on like being on the team together and stuff in high school, I feel like you were always way more committed to to choir, and you succeeded a lot more, but then you were so naturally talented at track, and you just like pull fast times out of your ass and then like get a committed to a big school. It's like just because
it happen kind of.
I mean,
you know, but you know, it's cuz at the end of the day, you know, I do these things just cuz mostly the people in them, you know, I found my best friends in choir and track, and I had more people in choir, and of course, some of my best friends came out of track, like you, obviously, and plenty of our other buddies we had breakfast with this morning. So, you know, it's like the guys I'm still seeing in town are like those guys that I met in those things.
Yeah.
Even coming back from Oklahoma being so far
away. Yeah, so I'm glad I, because like the question that started off that way about the identity, about your identity, I wanted to see what else you thought was something that was, should be at the forefront. Because I feel like people talk about it that all the time, like, especially like, you know, professional athletes are like, I hate being known as this guy that does this one thing when I'm so diverse and I have such a huge spectrum of stuff that I do. But then they never say any of the stuff that they do, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like, man, I'm more than that. But first of all, they may not have a platform to say that. So anyway, I just, not that you're like some LeBron James, but you know what I mean? Like you said,
platform
people only, some people only know you from track.
Yeah, you know, that's like, just around here, which as far as I'm concerned is, you know, my whole
Trent
world.
Trent Hamner is not just a runner.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
News broke today.
He wants to tell the world. But I mean, a lot of people that I know and have like been on teams with and stuff, I mean, they're fine with that being their identity, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having track.
Yeah, like that's like, yeah, that's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But when you look at those people who made it like all the way, like that's what they are.
Exactly. Like
they've given
I
up
think
everything
about
to be that.
Like Nick Mullins from Spain Park, that is a quarterback at for the 49ers now. Like that kid growing up, I mean, like football literally was his life, and that was like all he thought about, like all he did. And like I went to church with him and stuff, so that's how I know. And like, it's just always about football, and he was the quarterback and like football guy.
Yeah,
and it's like that obsession like paid off for him.
Yeah,
you know,
really,
like he, and it's like you can only make it that far if you are literally obsessed with it, and it becomes your life.
It's true,
and some that's what he was good with. That was just him. You know,
it's a good point. That's a good way of saying it. That's what he's good with, because if you don't, like you're saying, if your passion's not in it, if you're not putting enough in, to you're not going to get anything out of it.
So
it's not just waking up doing the grind, like you also have to be there to do other things and like, be present enough to understand that it's more
and
than
even
just
if
working
it's like
out and stuff.
Even if you do like do all this stuff and your heart's not in it and you're not fully committed to it, you're not going to be successful anyways.
Yeah. Exactly. You know? It's funny because there are a lot of athletes that come out of Hoover, and I'm not, and a lot of them, they do their thing for 1 or 2 years, and it's like, either they want to go somewhere else and do it. Like, again, I was just eavesdropping on what you heard, on what you said. And I hear that conversation happen a lot where it's like, either they regret doing the thing they did because they got such a good offer. They went to this really mm-hmm. cool school. They're like, it's so awesome. But I just realized, like, maybe I don't like this thing as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I see it a lot with track. And I wonder if specifically track and running cross country, like, there's a certain, they call it runner's high. And I'm like, I don't run. You guys did run. So, like, how real do you think, like, running and being, like, just feeling elated from running is a part of the sport?
Do you feel that, Evan? Runner's high?
I've never felt that. I guess, like,
I don't think it's real either.
I mean, to be honest. You know, like, in college, I was running. I started off running, like, 60 miles, and then I got up to, like, the last year, I was running 75 miles a week. And, like, I mean, I've done a 68-mile race in a day, you know? And, like, I never, I've never been like, woo! No, like, it's, like, more like, yeah, this sucks. It's over. Whoopee!
Oh, okay. Yeah, never mind then.
I think that's more like, I don't know, people that don't, they're like, start running, and they're like, I feel great.
You
know,
I see
endorphins. But
the small...
After you, like, train that much, and, like,
it's really more
you're
of
so used to it, it's just, like...
It's really more of a keeping up with not feeling like shit than, like, ever feeling, like,
if you
amazing.
Don't, if you don't feel like shit, that's a high.
That's your running time. No, seriously.
Just staying on top of things.
Like, yeah, my coach... I was telling him how I was, like, feeling so good recently, like, I was running well, and he was like, yeah, we need to get you back not feeling good.
Yeah.
He was like, if you feel too good, you're not working hard enough. I'm like, that's
nice. And the thing about it is, like, that's, I mean, this is kind of a strange comment to make, but that comment, that phrase, I guess is the word for it, like, the thing that you just said, Jesus, I just blanked on what it was.
Like the runner's high thing?
Well, it's no, like, no, what you just literally just said.
He said it's not, you need to not be feeling good.
Like if
I guess just like if you're a collegiate,
you're
a collegiate athlete.
Sorry, I had a point there and I just completely lost it.
Like if you're a collegiate athlete, it's not a leisure thing. Like you should be there to grind as hard as you can.
Yeah.
You're not just like out loafing around for fun, you know, like if you want to do that, you're just don't be on a team, just run
for
fun.
The big difference from, you know, high school, like I would say in high school, I absolutely loved track and, you know, because it is a sport where like you make best friends and it's about learning to love the sport and you know doing something different than you do and like pushing yourself harder than you have before. And it's sort of it's a team experience. I know it's an individual running event, but more than people realize it's a team experience. And I think all runners who can attest to that, but very much moving into D1 athletics, it's like you're here to do a job and you know, they're pouring lots of money into you and it's very much not about trying to develop you to love the sport as much as to make you as good as you can possibly be at it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of...
It's kind of past that once you get to college. Like, yeah.
If you're supposed to already love it when you walk in the door, they're not there to teach you anymore.
That's your point. Yeah. It's strange. I mean, because a lot of different sports treat it a lot of different ways, I'm sure. But from the general standpoint, I would say that's definitely true where you already have to have a passion for it and want it.
Yeah, you don't make it that far without a love and a passion.
Yeah, but for something like the NBA where these top-tier talent kids come through, they know they're going to be there for a year, less than a year sometimes because they sometimes come on in January and then they leave by August or whatever. It's like, and then they're in the NBA all of a sudden.
Right.
And it's like that... They're not there to do anything but prepare you for a professional league. But for some sports, that doesn't exist. So sometimes that college experience is the pinnacle of sport for that current sport.
Which is generally the case with track. I mean, you can become professional, but it's hardly ever like it's nothing like NFL. You know, there's no glorious professional
you're
gonna
be making
careers.
Like 20, 30 grand a year.
Like, there's probably like 10 people at the top of the pole who really make big money outside
and
of that.
Most pro runners, like they also have a job.
Yeah, they have like, jobs
another
outside
job.
Of that.
Yeah.
There's not really that much you can do all day to be a pro runner. You can just run all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in running, the number one guy in the world or whatever, say like Ashton Eaton or like Matthew Centuritz, you know, like they're getting paid millions of dollars a year. And then the second the second best person.
You don't even know their name. It's like,
30, 40 grand. Like, no one knows what their name is.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like the top person in every event is like, is, you know, the NFL style of, of fame and glory, and then it's nothing.
And most of it is like Gatorade sponsorships.
Yeah, like that's how they make all their money.
Yeah, you're not winning
Nike stuff, commercials.
You're not winning millions of dollars by winning a race.
Like, do some road race and make $2,000, and then there's another one in 4 weeks. You're like, all right.
Yeah, you piece together a part-time job out of that, I guess.
Exactly.
But.
It's the way she goes.
What was I about to say? There was something on that train that I had. I don't remember. Oh, like Olympics. Like, that's obviously another avenue for running, but it's such, like, impossible odds to do something like that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean...
It's so crazy.
It's also, there's no money in the Olympics unless you're, like, that good, and then you get another sponsorship from that.
Yeah. And it's, like, crazy, like, knowing how much those people put in to get there.
I know.
Oh, absolutely.
And then how little they receive from it, you know?
I know. It's, like, it all... Sometimes it all just comes down... It's literally one race. It's, like, there's heats or whatever, but it's, like, one thing. Like, it's depending on the event, obviously, but...
Yeah.
That's why you have to love it, because there really is... It's not a whole lot of material gain out of this at all, you know? If you're not happy with you just doing what you did, then...
And you think about it, like, the one thing that's going to make you even feel relieved, anything but the gold medal will make you feel like you just, it wasn't worth it. I can't speak from experience, but if you work that hard and then you're just like...
somewhere further to go. And
it's like especially if you're like a 100 meter sprinter and you're like going to, I mean, you know, 10 years ago against Usain Bolt, it's like, I can't win. Like, what?
And the crazy thing,
what am I supposed to do?
Like, the Olympic, the distance races in the Olympics... The people that win those races, they're never like, that's never a benchmark time when they're in the races. Like, Matthew Cintorinz, who won the 1500 from the USA in the last Olympics. I mean, his time was so slow.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Like, we're talking
like there's high school kids running that time, and it's just, it comes into just a race instead of like
it's
for
a
speed.
Psychological thing.
Yeah, it's you watch the race and they're just like sitting back waiting.
It's called being tactical.
Yeah, it's
that's
tactical.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah,
it's like no one's going for time. Everyone is just, going,
just going
to try to
win.
Cross the line first, and whatever way you do
so
it.
So it's
you know?
Like whoever strikes first, like that's when they everyone
see that's
starts
more like
going.
Car racing.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, it's like everyone's looking around at each other, like who wants to go?
It's not a foot race at
that's
all.
That's crazy.
It's just like.
So these times like are set at like the world record times would be set like
they're just at like
so
random races.
Events.
Yeah, like say he ran I think like 3:51 or something like that at to win the Olympics and
Tommy in high school ran 3:55.
My friend Tommy like
what
basically ran that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
You could have won the Olympics.
But how long? You said 1500.
Yeah,
so it's a mile basically.
A little, it's like a little bit shorter than a mile.
It's like
it's basically the mile, but
yeah.
The metric version.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
So under 4 minutes is like
for the 1500.
Yeah. So like 1600 is considered a mile.
I mean, at the,
I got you.
At
oh,
like
right.
the Olympic
miles, yeah.
at the Olympic level, that's easy.
Yeah.
Like
those
guys have run
all
like
be under four. Like,
they've run like 3:30s before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what the world record is
for the 15? I think it's 3:26.
Sure. Yeah. That's freaking moving. What would that be, like 3:46 mile?
Add like 15 seconds. It's like, it's definitely faster than the world record for the mile.
That's crazy. Why didn't he just keep going a little bit?
That note.
Yeah, that's what I always think.
There
like
several occurrences like, if they kept going, they would have beat
they
it.
They should have just run that extra 100, 100
like,
after
on.
The finish line.
That'd be crazy.
That's happened several times. Like, I think Mo Farah has run 3:26 before, but didn't break the world record. And they're like, should have just kept
so
going,
close.
Man. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
But yeah, it's also, I don't know, when it gets to that point of being that fast, like it's such a, like running becomes not just a fitness thing. It becomes such like a fine-tuned, like you have to like develop your body to be able to do this certain distance like perfectly.
You
and
know,
so
like their lives become training.
Yeah,
like,
and it becomes this level of science and you have to like every second of the day is to get you to do this one thing.
It's like a lot of those guys, they sleep in altitude tents. So
their breathing becomes better?
Yeah, it's like a tent over their bed that simulates being at like 8,000 feet. And then they're like,
you just can't breathe.
Sleep so they have to sleep so many hours and they'll have to, a lot of them will run 2 to 3 times every day. They also have to go to
the
weight
room
every day. They have to weigh a certain amount, just like everything.
Yeah,
you have to stretch, go to trainers.
Yeah. That's the main difference between I'm going to say the NFL, but the NFL is on its way to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those athletes are just naturally big and strong, so they don't have to care about that.
Yeah.
Like you think about like even 10 years ago, like you didn't hear about guys like with nutrition coaches, and mm-hmm. now every team has several, you know, a whole nutritional team. It's like if you're not eating right, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. But mm-hmm. I mean, that sport is so different from track. I'm not even trying to equate the two. But obviously, like in track, if you're not doing it, there's just no chance. Like you can't just rely on yourself to win.
And I think OU, you know, Oklahoma is a great example of that, just because I think overall in athletics, Oklahoma has like the most national championships out of any school. So they're obviously like hugely funded as far as athletics go. And so we all get access to that. And talking about they have a position for everything. They have a dietitian inside the trainer room, and you can schedule things and get bod pods to measure your like body fat ratio and all these types of things. And it's, you know, it's pretty crazy. Like the amount of money and resources and things just in the last 10 years, like you said, like it's become really crazy.
I'm sure. I mean, also like you think about, it's a research school. It's a big ass public school in a state where it's basically the only one. It's like you said, wins a lot of national championships, the most. It has a huge football program. Like it's got, it's one of those things where it's just like everything lines up to make it one of the most badass, you know, institutions that you could try to go to.
Let me tell you that they try to pride you on that so much. They are always talking about it. Every like athlete, like,
also
feel
like sport,
school.
Yeah. Sports science has become such a bigger, like that has grown so much recently.
Yeah.
Like pretty much every teammate I had, they're going into kinesiology or exercise science or whatever.
Yeah, if you could just hear some of the stuff my coach says, like looking at our workout sheets, I'm like, I don't know what half this shit
is. His coach is literally like a scientist.
Like Moneyball?
Yeah, he has a website, and he like does all
the analytics.
Oh yeah, no. If you go, he did one with Brandon Hazuri. He was training him to break 4 in the mile, and it's like this long prep, and he would take his blood samples.
Oh yeah, we do blood testing.
Yeah, and it's insane. And it's like he built this formula, and he would enter in his levels and stuff, and he would be able to project like what his times would be, and like what paces he needs to be training at, and like all this crazy stuff. It's so accurate.
I don't think I'm allowed to like give away some of his workouts and stuff, but it's like we do treadmill testing where we run the treadmill and he takes our blood.
Like in all the commercials, like they have you hooked up to all the masks and ventilation.
Well,
stuff like that.
They take our lactase, they take our blood and, you know, test our lactate level and stuff like that, and we see how far we can go at this certain pace to see our aerobic capacity, and you know, it's just all this weird scientific shit. I'm
dude,
like,
those
I'm
dudes
just running,
that,
man.
Those dudes that have a really high lactic capacity, what's the word for it? Aerobic?
But
lactic
like
acid build
like
up, like they don't build
capacity?
Up lactic acid.
Yeah. There's like two ends of it,
But those dudes that do that, they can just run for like hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
It's like,
because they don't feel pain.
Yeah. They just can't,
you know,
they don't relax. They never
tire
out.
That's how why your muscles get tired.
Yeah.
It's crazy how they, you know, they say you can do anything if you work hard enough, but the fact is, you got to be built for what you're doing.
True.
You know, like there's a guy on the team last year who can tempo 15 miles at 5 flat pace.
Jeez,
and I can run like 2 miles that fast maybe. But also he can't run a 400, like he has jogs a 400, and you know, that's like my vent. So it's just
like
it's
a lot of it
for.
Is in running especially is very natural. Like Tommy, who grew up with, and he runs at Auburn now. Like he can hold his breath underwater
for like 4 minutes.
Four minutes just because like
that's
something
capacity,
and like
know?
Yeah, and he used to go like spear fishing when he was a kid, so that's like
those types of things,
like that's just
where
like
is he from Alaska or something.
No, they're from
the Keys.
Yeah, they have a house in the Keys, and so like they would go down there and he would just,
I thought he like had
like
to survive
spear, so he trained himself to hold his breath.
Like, was it like a stick? Like, was it a real, like,
it's one of those like bow and arrow things.
It's
so crazy.
It's like a spear and it has three tips at the end, like nails. And then there's like a rubber band on the other end. Mm-hmm. And you use the rubber band as like the propulsion system, like in your thumb, and you let go of it and it flings that fish and they just get stuck
in
there.
It's super cool.
It's really
good. It's really fun.
Dude, oh yeah. Joe Rogan was talking about they do this professionally where like, it's like a, I don't know if it's a sport, I guess, but there's like this woman who's really good at it.
Yeah.
She like does like deep dive, like deep free dives where she's like 50 meters or something.
Yeah.
Underwater. And she just waits on a big ass fish and then she just, and then just like gets it.
That's cool.
But she's like under there for like 20 minutes or whatever.
The coolest thing, they have signs everywhere. They're like, if you see lionfish, I don't know if you've seen a lionfish, like those red, spiky and they look like plants. Like if you see them, kill them. They're like, they're invasive. They're like, we need them out of here.
Wow.
That's crazy.
There's a Patagonia documentary that they made. It's called Fish People, And it's just about like different people that are, their lives are kind of centered around the ocean. And there was like a big part of it was spearfishing, and it was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a cool,
I tell you, it's a cool, a different life.
I'm sure.
It's
way different than normal fishing.
It was, so funny. You know, we're talking about people who are like just naturally gifted at running.
Yeah.
I, aerobically, like long running, am not one of those people. Mm-hmm. Like people, those, like, you know, my friends, John Paul and Tommy, they can run for 10 miles and it's like literally nothing. And yeah. I can't run like 5 miles without dying. But we're down in the Keys, and let me tell you, the sun at 7 a.m. is horrible. And I remember this one day, we were just running, and they're, you know, we're like 4 miles in, and they're going back, whatever. And I am like walking, dying. And they're like, I think we should go bring them water. They thought I had actually like passed out.
Oh my God.
And I got back to the house, and they were walking out with bottles of water to come find me.
That's funny.
It's terrible. Good times out there dying in the sun.
Love that.
Sun just bouncing off the water right at you. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of the sun, though. It's a pretty good, pretty big part of my life.
Not down there.
I love that
different.
Big old orange.
Oh,
that
God.
Big old orange ball up there.
Big old orange ball.
It's actually, it's not orange. That's just the emission of light from the explosions of all the gas.
What color is it?
No, listen. The explosions are orange. The gas is clear. You can't see through it. You can see through it.
Now that I know.
Well,
the more you know.
No, don't do that. We're not doing that. Just kidding.
What else you want to talk about? T-Dog.
I don't know.
I keep trying to make doctor, like the first two letters, T-R, like Toctor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how people
I understand,
like,
what you mean.
Dr. A for Hamner. Drake. Tramner.
Dr. Hamner. You know, having the last name Hamner has been interesting over the years. One, it's horrible, don't, because they have to spell out for everyone, and they're like, Hammer? And I'm like, no, Hamner.
Is that
like
a real
so
name?
Hammer. But the worst is, I think the worst occurrence of me having a last name like that was in a Little League Baseball, when they actually misspelled my jersey, and it said Hammer on the back. Let me tell you, I was a terrible batter. Every single time I walk up to the plate, Hammer it! And I'm like,
Hammer
strike
it.
Out every single time.
Because you're so pissed.
They're like, Hammer it, Trent! And then, you know, I strike out consistently, so that was good fun.
That's good, man.
Hammer it.
You should have got into the pig farming.
Yeah.
Hamner.
Tried my hand in a lot of sports over the years.
Hamner pig farms.
I think a pig farmer is called a garner.
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering. What would the term be for...
I think it's a garner, actually.
For a pig specialist.
You farm pigs?
Maybe it's, yeah. I think that's what it's called. You know, like
a porker.
Like a butcher is someone that butches.
Peter Porker.
Peter Porker.
And you can also have the last name Butcher.
Butcher.
Or like,
this is not an ad, but watch the Spider-Man movie.
Watch it. So good.
Yeah. I'll take that.
John, you need to, dude.
I know. I was gonna watch it the day it came out, but I thought it came out on Christmas Day. And it didn't. It came out before. And so I wasn't prepared to see it. I was like, oh, shnikes. Anyway, I did see Vice. Have you guys seen that?
So good.
It's so hilarious.
Crazy good.
It has
funny. Is it accurate? I don't know
but
accurate.
It's really funny, though.
I don't care either. I love how it just like halfway through the movie, they acted like it was over.
Yeah.
It was like
everything was fine. And like he wrote books and he retired.
Back, yeah, he went back to the oil company and... Lynn did all this stuff.
It was so funny. I was
whatever.
Just like dying at that point.
And then the credits started rolling.
No, but like half the people in the theater just didn't get what was going on. Yeah. And like my whole family's
like, I feel
like
there was a
it.
Lot of stuff that would just go over people's head if it wasn't in their humor.
That's what makes movies good, though, because when it is in your humor.
Yeah.
It's funny because that guy's made like a lot of Will Ferrell movies.
Will Ferrell was the producer.
Yeah, because Adam McKay and Will Ferrell, they run Funny or Die together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they made a bunch of those movies, like any movie that you can think of that's got Will Ferrell in it as like the main character, Adam McKay pretty much directed it.
Okay.
Anyway, he also did The Big Short, which is the other award-winning one. I don't know if Vice is up for Oscars or anything,
I haven't. I'm sure it's easy to find out how accurate it is.
Yeah, some of it I'm like, it seems
that's
a little crazy.
Yeah.
Like he was like, you
could
tell.
And they did say that thing at the end, like we did our best job or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, he was the most secretive vice president. Like, what you had to make up stuff, some stuff. You know?
Yeah.
And like the post-credit scene, dude. the guy, did you stay until after the credits?
No, I didn't.
Dude, it was hilarious. So like
I'm
little,
no.
We could just watch it later.
Probably
I guess.
Look it up, yeah.
It's funny though.
I don't want to ruin it.
Thanks. Wait, Trent, what was the post-credit scene in the Spider-Man movie?
So the Spider-Man movie, apparently it's really hard to understand.
The post-credit scene or the movie?
Yeah, so there's a post-credit scene. Everyone was like about to leave, and I'm like, wait, this is a Marvel movie.
Yeah, you know.
There's going to be a post-credit scene,
yeah.
Even though it's, you know, different than all the other Marvel movies. But they had like the original Spider-Man. I can't remember when it was, but like the original Spider-Man. And
like
then
Tobey Maguire original or like
no,
original?
Like original
1960s?
Spider-Man. Like,
oh.
Old. Like and 50s? Then there was some Spider-Man from the future. It didn't really... that didn't happen. It's kind of
confusing.
I think
I saw something about that.
It was like the Spider-Man from the future, but like the one from the future in the old comics, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's still like the old one. And then they bring out like this whole like time travel device. So I think they're going to go more into like the Spider-Verse because, you know, it's sort of like going between the different Spider-Man universes.
Yeah, and it is called Into the Spider-Verse. So you think they're going to be in it at some point. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know because I didn't see the movie.
It's kind of what the movie's about.
Priming the engine.
But then they're sort of tweaking that you're going to be able to like travel between them.
Yeah.
I guess.
I can't remember what character it is because I was pretty well versed in the Spider-Verse in general before the movie came out. Can't remember which one of the characters, but they were in the movie. Which one of the characters was the one that would take them? No, it's 2099 Spider-Man, I think.
2099, what does he look like?
If you've played the Spider-Man video game, which I don't know if you've had.
I don't have a PlayStation.
Were all the other Spider-Men in the movie, were those all like real Spider-Men?
They all have comics, so like they're all like M.
Even that freaking pig?
Yeah, the Spider-Ham one. Yeah, it was more of a joke comic, obviously.
Peter Parker's like Looney Tunes, maybe?
They seem pretty Looney Tunes,
so I figure that's what he's
Peter Porker.
When he gave him the hammer and he was like, this will fit in your pocket, I was like, all right, this is definitely
or even the anime girl.
Yeah, there was like one anime girl, so I didn't know. I've obviously never seen that comic.
Yeah,
I think in Japan maybe.
Yeah, there was definitely a comic for all of them, like you said.
That's cool.
Because Kevin Smith, I think, did a video with GQ or somebody that he was like explaining all the different Spider-Man stuff, and he talked about that one for a little while. Because it was like in promotion for the new one.
Yeah,
but I don't even think he produced. Anyways, whatever. What were we talking about? Jesus, man.
Peter
I'm sorry.
Parker.
I keep like interrupting and be like,
Peter
I'm
Parker,
not talking
dude.
About that anymore.
Yeah.
Nicholas that down.
Nicolas Cage was like super funny as the 1943 Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, because they gave him a Rubik's Cube, but like
his world is in black and
white.
Oh, right.
And he's like, is this purple?
That's pretty good.
He's like, I'm going to take this back with me and I'm going to understand it one day. I love it.
So you big into other Marvel movies?
I've seen pretty much all of them, but I wouldn't say I'm super into it.
I gotcha.
If there's anything I'm super into, me and my buddies, Star Wars. That's my world right there.
Yeah, listen, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but I've been so turned off by these movies. I liked Seven
absolutely.
A lot.
Yeah.
I didn't see Solo just because I was like, whatever. I enjoyed Rogue One, but mostly for the Darth Vader parts.
Oh, yeah.
As do most people.
Who doesn't love Darth Vader?
Rogue One?
Yeah.
That was the second. It came out after 7, but it's like in between 3 and 4.
I gotcha. Yeah, it's like a prequel to the original.
Yeah, I saw the first two new ones.
Well, really, it's right before 4. I guess you would say Solo is the one that's between 3 and 4.
There's like a bunch of stuff between 3 and 4. There's a lot of stuff.
When you guys watched all the Star Wars, what order did you go in?
I can't even tell you. Like originally, what I saw them in.
Yeah, I probably saw Attack of the Clones, the animated movie first. Maybe my dad.
Movie?
Yeah, it came out a couple of years before episode 3 did. And I remember going with one of my friends for his birthday to see that.
Right.
And I was pretty into that. But we might have already been into it. We might have already seen episode 1 and 2 because those came out when we were born, but like pretty early on. Like I would
have
been.
Have
like
you
one
done like a intentional watch
viewing?
Them all through? Yeah.
Yeah, sort of, but it's been broken up over a couple of days. I've never sat down and tried
to
watch it.
Yeah.
But if I did it again, I know what you're talking about. Like, there's a bunch of different orders to watch them in. I would probably just watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. Because I would skip. I didn't see Solo, and I would skip Rogue One just because there's only one good part of that actually ties in with the movie with the series. But I don't know.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about Rogue One? Because I don't know that that's the obviously Episode 8 is the most like polarizing
I think Rogue One, like if you're really into the whole Star Wars fandom stuff, it has a lot of like underlying stuff that you wouldn't notice.
The Kyber crystals and stuff like that.
Crystals and stuff like if you watch the shows Clone Wars and Rebels, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Did you watch Rebels?
I have watched Rebels and Clone Wars. Definitely, I would say Rebels is worth it. I would say it's probably not even that good a show.
Yeah.
But since I love Star Wars so much, like I love that show.
Yeah, that's fair.
And like they just had random like references and stuff like that, which I always think is so cool. But you know, I can understand why no one else would even hear that.
So. I never watched it. And then I watched some of Attack of the... Or what? Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Attack of the Clones. That's the, anyway. I watched some of that series when it was coming on the TV,
but
I haven't gone back and watched it on Netflix or anything like that. But I would say I'm a big Star Wars fan, but like I said, been kind of turned off the last couple. I don't know how they're gonna wrap it up. I care, but I don't at the same time. It's like
I think they can't
fix what's already broken so hard. Like they put themselves in such a hole where there's really only one thing that makes the next one exciting.
Yeah,
and that's if what's it called? Kylo joins the light side. Like, there's no other.
Absolutely.
Like, what are you going to do?
Well, the whole thing is, like, it's sort of a, you know, since the beginning of Star Wars, it's been about the Skywalkers, and now it's like Luke has died, supposedly, but, like, who's going to kill? Like, Luke's coming back, right? Luke's coming back. Because it's, you know, Star Wars is about the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm just interested to see what they're going to do. I'm mostly interested just to see how they're going to, like, save themselves. Because, like, I agree, like you said, they put themselves in a hole.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like they got to rebuild. And then they showed the little kid at the end of 8 with Force sensitive. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but, the mop, you know, that's just a little too open. Like, what does that even mean?
I know. He's, like, 8, and it's, like, you got to wait 20 years for it to be interesting. Like, he's not going to be another little Anakin. Like,
apparently, this one's going to be, like, way in the future. Or, like,
oh, really? Oh, yeah, I heard later. That. It's, like, it's several years, yeah.
So, maybe that's why they did that.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
Did you used to come to Star Wars night at my house?
No, but honestly, I've been into Star Wars for maybe like 2-3 years, so I didn't even know that you did that. But if I had known, then I would have been there.
So you're a relatively new fan. I didn't know that. That's interesting that not only are you a new fan, but you went back and watched all the old
stuff. Oh, absolutely. Like, I didn't even watch Clone Wars as a kid, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I watch it for the story and just because, you know, like. When you just love Star Wars, you just love everything Star Wars, no 100%. Matter who it's for.
Especially early on, like I said, I've been watching it since I was 4 or 5 years old. So
right.
I know it, but I'd also, it's just been a part of it. I've been a part of it. It's more like, I don't know the best way to describe it. But like, you've developed a passion for it outside of experiencing it with everybody else.
Yeah,
almost
absolutely.
Like when you watch a show when everybody else is already done with it.
It's more
like
genuine.
I watched Breaking Bad after it was
just
over.
You like it because
I love Star Wars, and I only have like two friends into it like me.
Yeah,
you know, me and John Paul talk about it all the time, and then you know, I just know like all the weird crap and all the weird stuff that connects and
yeah. I mean, you gotta have your hobbies, bro.
Yeah, my philosophy teacher last semester, no one ever talks in that class, so I like to mess with him every now and then because he's just like a GA student trying his hardest to teach class, so I'm trying to help him out. Well, he was like, so is anyone in here like into something like a lot? Like there's something they know a lot about that no one else does. And he's like, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to help this guy out. I raise my hand. He's like, what? And I didn't expect him to call me. And he goes, well, what are you into? I'm like, Star Wars. And he's like, all right, name as many planets as you can.
Oh, no.
And I just kept going. He was like, I've heard enough.
That's hilarious.
It was good.
That's stressful.
Yeah, and then the kids in the class, like, never talking to that guy.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you know way too many. That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know
that
about...
helped with the chicks.
Oh, yeah. Girls love Star Wars.
I mean, you get
girls
the right
just
one,
all
bro.
Came up to you like, oh, my gosh. I have your number.
Do you have a lightsaber?
I have a couple lightsabers.
Can I touch your blaster?
Yeah, John, you had the legit one.
Yeah, I do. Hang on.
Yeah, pull it out.
Pull out the lightsaber.
John stands up, walks to his closet.
This
forcefully
is probably my next major
swings
investment.
Open the closet, slaps the light on, pulls her out.
I think he's about to kill me with it.
Oh,
man. That's an Inquisitor saber, if I'm correct.
Oh, shit, two? I've never seen the purple one.
And that's the Fulcrum saber, maybe? I'm not sure. But yeah, I've seen these online, you know. Thought about buying one.
Freaking slick.
Nice.
Be careful, Trent.
Oh yeah, I've seen those. I've thought about buying one.
Would recommend. They're nice, man.
Yeah. The best thing is too, like in my room in Norman, you know, where Oklahoma is, my individual room. It's like perfect girl repellent because you walk in and have like a Harry Potter one on the wall. Like, I have like 10 Star Wars figures like on my dresser and they're like, what's that? Nothing.
Yeah, like when girls come over, they're like, oh.
Yeah, I have like 10 Black Series little figures also. I don't have them up right now because I'm about to move. I'll take these back from you because I'm about to move.
Yeah, they're pretty
Yeah, I'm gonna try to hurt anybody on a show.
Yeah, seriously,
you'd be more careful with those, dude.
yeah, so I got a couple questions. Maybe if you have some suggestions for our what's this called? A set. So we're moving. I'm moving. Evan's
right,
but Evan will be doing the podcast from my house also with me. Anyway, so the current setup we have, for anybody that hasn't seen it, it's a desk. It's not designed for this usage. It's not really a table. It's literally a desk. There's a big TV on it. I don't have to walk you through the whole thing, but anyway,
right.
It's dope. Super
I like cool. it, but the problem is we're moving into a new spot, and I need to know what I should do differently or what I should do the same about the new setup.
Yeah, Trent, first time okay. guess. What are your all right. immediate observations?
I have something to say here.
Okay, let's go.
I think we are like in your room and we're having a conversation, which is all what the Real Easy Show is about.
You're right.
So I don't think you need to have a studio. I think having it on a desk that it doesn't even technically work for is exactly the idea behind the Real Easy Show.
See, you're right. Damn. And now you're making me kind of upset that I want a table and I kind of
want
to do it.
Dude, I want a slick room too.
See, me and Evan have been talking, man. We really like this slick room idea. The thing about it is like my bedroom is like two sectioned off rooms. It's kind of weird. So I'll have a room like about this size and then another room about, I would say like half the size connected to it. And I think I'm going to put my bed in the smaller room. I thought I was going to put the podcast in the smaller room.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to put my bed in the smaller room because you can kind of like disconnect it from the podcast area and then have the big room for like podcast / hangout area. So people could like for instance, there would
be like
have,
a dude lounge.
Yeah, exactly. So lounge. we would have these podcast
it's also
sessions.
Also the studio.
Exactly. We would have these podcast sessions where like five people were on my bed. And it's not that I have a problem with it necessarily. It's just like that doesn't look professional. And if we're trying to have someone in here that's like, actually a person.
Yeah, we've had some people in here and it was just kind of weird. Yeah. Like people that we didn't really know that well.
Yeah. And so it's just like they're looking at where I sleep and it's just like and some of them are sitting there. And I'm like, all right, maybe we shouldn't do it like that. So I'm thinking of putting a couch.
You can make it like a dope lounge.
A little loungy.
Lounge. See, and then, that would be it would still be the same kind of thing. Like
yeah, it would still be in my
like
bedroom.
Your parents' basement, you know.
Yeah, there's still the same vibes.
Just all set up.
And then I bought some soundproofing foam just to see what it would look like.
It makes it look cool.
It's not up yet because I want to put it in here.
We've been talking about that.
Doesn't even work, but it looks
okay,
cool.
Okay, Trent. Exactly. Trent, what would be cooler? Because we may get to paint it.
What would be cool? All right, here's my tapestries.
John, what would be your paint preference?
I wasn't even thinking about that. And then when you mentioned it, I don't know. Because, like, you know, H3 does, like, they have, like, a really dark room.
That's what I always like thought it'd be sick if it was just, like, pitch black.
It'd be so sweet. The thing is, it's, like, a big room. It's, like, not only would it be a lot of hard work to paint it like that, but also, like, then the whole room is dark.
You just need to cover the walls with, like, so it doesn't matter what color it is. You need to cover it with, like, cool stuff.
That's true. We could just decorate the hell out of it.
Like, a tiny desk.
Yes. I know. Yeah, you know that'd, I mean? Be, that'd
like
be interesting.
A bunch of random
just
shit.
Have a lot of interesting things. That people
I think the sound. I think room. The soundproofing pads. Essential.
That'll make a difference. Oh, that's true. It'll make the wall black anyway.
Yeah.
Like that.
So we could just cover the walls and those, basically. Not cover it, but you know, like.
That would be so funny if the whole room was just like all the ceiling.
You could just scream at the
top
of the
wall. The bathroom was soundproofed.
Dude. Oh, they have those rooms. They're like chambers where you go in and you can't hear anything. Like, and then eventually if you stay in there long enough, you hear your heartbeat and then you hear your blood moving in your ears and stuff like that. It's just like. And then people literally go insane. Yeah. It'd be good for like a prison.
Remember that room that SpongeBob got locked in that was like that?
Oh, God. I probably shut that out of my
room
memory.
He was in a straitjacket?
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Oh, it was like Lord. The squishy room. There's like a duck in there, I think. That's what I'm imagining.
Show's
but
so
black.
Weird, man. It's so messed
up. Did you remember the SpongeBob guy?
Of course I remember it. I just don't. It's
you
just,
don't like,
there's so many messed up themes to SpongeBob, and it's just
that's
not.
That's why it's awesome. That's why I like
it's
it.
It's true, but it's also like, Jesus.
Also, it's like all that stuff just.
Yeah. Also, like the whole thing about SpongeBob is that in total, there's probably like 10 episodes we remember, and there's about 40 episodes that we never want to remember.
It's true.
Because there are some really weird stuff that
there's
goes on in SpongeBob.
And there's also like new seasons that we just never literally watch.
Yeah, dude, I don't
like,
watch
they're
the crap.
They're still coming out with new ones. Apparently they're really bad.
That's what I hear.
So sad. Never had another
SpongeBob, dude.
Now all we have is memes.
Yeah.
I wonder what, like, memes. Could you imagine being like being born right now? Like, how do you.
That sucks.
What you going to be, man?
What do they watch, dude?
What all I know is that my kid's going to get a phone about? In the first grade, and I'm not going to monitor them all so they can be funny when they grow up. You
see,
know?
You know, that's not a bad idea. It's just kind of going ass backwards with it, like really, really trying something different.
Like, I get it. You're going to look a horrible stuff on the internet. Who doesn't? Like, gosh.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to do it. You're
really
going to do it eventually.
You're going to be funnier than all
might
of
might as well
classmates.
Just make you can get your, that curve. Phase out of the way.
But you think about a kid. Think about a kid that knew all of that stuff and was teaching it to you. Do you want your kid to be that kid?
Yeah, true. I do remember those kids.
Like, I could say some names, but I don't want to. It's just like,
maybe second grade.
Yeah, give him a grade. You know, he'll get nice and mature, or she.
Yeah.
Or whatever your gender kid is going to be.
Yeah.
Don't want to assume it's shit.
I want my 6-year-old to watch porn.
Oh, gosh.
Then they'll be horrified to watch it, and then they won't actually watch it.
They'll show their friends. The friends will be like, dude, what the heck? And they'll be like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Here's some funny stories. Like, my friends, like, they're talking about the first time they saw it, and they're like, man, we were some bad kids. Like, we were sitting in my friend's den, like, just kicking back with popcorn, like, watching it. And then my friend's dad walks in, he's like, what the hell?
That's pretty crazy, dude. I mean, what you imagine, like, kids don't even have to be in the same room to do that now. With, like, FaceTime with, like, 85 people or however many people you can do it with. Okay, I mean, the future of that in itself, just, like, being able to FaceTime with, is it 32?
Yeah, something like that.
32 people. And then, like, eventually it'll get to the point where you're literally... Everybody has VR, and like VR chat is a thing already.
You're just together whenever you want.
Yeah, so it's just like you're just with your friends all
absolutely.
The time.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
You know, Brockhampton, that band has like 30 people in it. When they released that, someone tweeted back and was like, man, Brockhampton going crazy right now.
That's pretty good.
I loved it.
I wonder if they've actually done that. Like, try to do anything.
They don't actually say anything. They just get really excited. Man, this is so cool.
Nice. I can see all you boys. That's hilarious. All right, we're at like 45 minutes. I think it's a wrapski.
Was a successful episode.
It's
you
been
know?
Real. It's been easy.
You know, peace. I've been waiting on someone else to say that because I say that sometimes, but no one else ever says it. Evan sometimes finishes it, but there's never been a guest that says
it. Hey, I said it.
All right, peace out.